living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
I'm here with Tanya Winder. She's a MBA and the president and CEO of the Allergy and Asthma Network. Used to be Allergy and Asthma Network Mothers of Asthmatics, but that has changed just this year. And we're talking about, first of all, we're going to wrap up about the man flu and just about cold and flu in general. Tanya, tell us a little bit about what are some of the treatments, you know, from food, supplements, to even drugs that your group supports for treating cold and flu?
Sure, absolutely. So again, the treatments are very different for cold versus flu. If you're talking about a cold, many times it's things like over-the-counter decongestants or pain relievers. Now, when we're talking about the flu, it can be everything from your over-the-counter fever reducer medicines, but also prescription antiviral medications. So this would be something like Tamiflu. It's very important for those prescriptions that you get them as soon as you begin to feel the symptoms, because the sooner you take them, the greater impact they have in reducing the duration of those symptoms.
So all of that kind of information is on the website, and my listeners can go to www.aanma.org. I just pulled it up myself. Very easy to navigate, which I really like in websites. I like clean websites, Tanya, so good job there. Let's talk a little bit more about, the network. Specifically, I guess there's some changes for 2015. So what programs are you looking to initiate this year?
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking. Yeah, it is an exciting year for us. It's our 30-year celebration. The organization has been around for 30 years dedicated to that same mission of ending needless death and suffering due to asthma, allergies, and related conditions. We do that kind of through four core areas of outreach, education, advocacy, and research. In 2015, specifically, we are hosting our 30th anniversary celebration in early May, and we will have a full day in Washington, D.C., a full week, in Washington, D.C., dedicated to each of those core mission areas. We have hosted the annual Day on Capitol Hill for the last 18 years for all the families with asthma and allergies, and we'll do so again in May of this year. So we're very excited about that. One of the new things that we're doing is actually a roadshow education tour with pediatricians and nurse practitioners across the country. And this is an effort to build collaborative care teams in the 35 major metropolitan areas throughout the U.S. So these are interactive case discussions where pediatricians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and subspecialists, allergists, and pulmonologists get together and talk about different cases and discuss how to best treat those cases and how to work together to provide that patient-centered care that we're all looking for.
Oh, so you do connect then the specialists with the general practitioner, who obviously, you know, as a general practitioner, you can't keep up with everything. There's just no way. There's too much in medicine. You're providing what would be kind of like a continuing education type of program for private physicians. That's really awesome. I like that. And have you done that in the past, or is this something new for this year?
Yeah, this is something new this year, and again, we are very excited about this opportunity. It's a collaborative effort with the American Academy of Pediatrics, as well as the Convenient Care Clinic Association, which is all of your Walgreens, Kroger, Little Clinic, CVS, Minute Clinic type of retail clinic, healthcare clinic. And again, we know that more and more patients are choosing to access care in those different settings. And I think it's very important, again, that we build those collaborative care teams and discuss when it's appropriate for a patient to be seen in that setting versus referred on to a specialist.
Gotcha. You know, going back to your family, so you have, I think you said five children?
Five children, yes.
Five kids, okay.
Ages
and you have a husband? 10 to 15. Yes. Your husband's Brian. So Brian has asthma. You have some of your kids with, allergies. Some of your kids with allergies. So I just want to hear your personal take on this. Where are we at today, 2015, when it comes to treating allergies and asthma. What's worked for you? What hasn't worked for you? What's some of your opinion?
Well, you know, I think that anytime you're talking about allergy and asthma, it's complex, right? So unfortunately, it's not like you're only allergic to one thing and you can eliminate that or live in a bubble and never be exposed to that. Mm-hmm. So it's very important, number one, to know exactly what you are allergic to, and then to see if there are measures you and steps you can take to actually reduce your exposure to those triggers. So that's the first thing. I think secondly, it is knowing the medication that works well for you. So there are a lot of great over-the-counter medications now for seasonal allergies. The key is if you're not getting symptom relief or really able to live your normal daily activity, your normal daily life without limitations of activity, then you should seek your physician and get some additional care and help. There are some new treatments specifically for allergies that are really innovative and unique. Allergy shots, subcutaneous immunotherapy, has been around for over 100 years. But now there are sublingual immunotherapy tablets that are FDA approved that you can actually put a tablet under your tongue daily and develop a sensitization to that particular allergen. So that's really exciting development. And there's also allergy drops that are not yet FDA approved, but many physicians are finding a lot of success with using them in clinic. So those are some of the innovative ways that allergies are being treated. When we talk about asthma, I'm sorry, I was going to say
ahead.
About asthma.
No, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Talk about asthma, because after that we'll talk about food sensitivity.
Sure. So with asthma specifically, there is a strong link between allergy and asthma. Greater than 60% of asthmatics also have allergies that are triggering those symptoms. So with asthma, I think that, again, over the last 10 to 20 years, we have developed wonderful treatments and medications for the majority of asthma patients. There is your daily controller medicine that's usually an inhaled corticosteroid, and then your quick reliever medicine, which is usually albuterol. And so, again, with just monitoring the symptoms, eliminating those triggers in the environment, and then taking that daily medication, you tend to have great control of symptoms for most patients. Now, others will find their symptoms uncontrolled and will have to escalate that treatment pattern to things like biologics and innovative new treatments for asthma specifically.
Yeah. And don't forget, you know, with asthma, too, I know that I've had some allergy specialists on, and, you know, especially in children, when you focus more on the inflammatory component, too, of the disease.
Yes.
Natural anti-inflammatories have done really well. I had one specialist on that just adding, you know, omega-3 polyunsaturated fats to the diet and even through supplements to some of his asthmatics, significant improvements, you know, leaving everything else as it was, their medicines and stuff, and just adding the omega-3s was big. So, okay, so, Tanya, another thing that's big in, in the news, it's on all of the talk shows and stuff, is the food allergies that we're talking about, food sensitivities.
Yes.
What's your take on those?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because I myself have one child that has life-threatening food allergies, and it's interesting that we know that, again, the prevalence of food allergies is certainly on the rise. We don't exactly understand why, if it's genetically modified foods that we're eating, or if it's changes in our culture and environment, if it's the hygiene hypothesis, which is often discussed and debated. But I think that certainly we can't deny that the prevalence of food allergies is on the rise, and that the incidence, unfortunately, of anaphylaxis, the severe life-threatening reaction, is on the rise.
Severe side, yeah. Yeah. So we're going to have to leave it there, Tanya. I actually, you have a nice little page on food allergies. That's at www.aanma.org/food allergies. My listeners can check that out. Tanya, thank you for what you're doing. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.